And we're reading from Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 4. That's page 805. As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Good morning. I also bring you greetings from Reverend Peter Arnett, sick this morning, so we won't be continuing with this series. I'll leave that to him to pick up. And instead, we'll deal with the readings from this morning. What was that? What was that thought that just went through your mind as you settled back to listen to me? At this time in the service, this time arrives every Sunday. What do you think when you sit back and fold your arms and cross your feet? Do you think, "Here we go again, blah, blah, blah"? Do you expect to be entertained or challenged? This part of each worship service is real. It is as real and relevant a time between you and Yahweh as your praying time, your singing time, your reflection time. This time is at that same level. With that in mind, as you settle down and fold your arms and cross your feet, how often do you think to yourself, "I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to hear from God Almighty during this teaching time. Thoughts are going to occur to me that I never had before. Clarity will come. A new perspective will open up in my mind, maybe on an old topic, which I can apply to today's situations." Yes, we come here to pray to God Almighty, and we come to listen to him as well. Pray with me. Father, we are prepared to hear from you now. We are open to your inspiration. We expect to be changed by the engagement and to be taught by you. Okay, open your Bibles. Be good if you had your own here so that you can add to your cross-referencing. But if you don't, there are some sprinkled around, but you're not allowed to write in those ones, all right? What is the predominant answer or theme or talking point from the New Testament about the end of days, end times? Now, don't go all blank on me. Just because someone mentions end of the days, people say, "Oh, here we go. Deja vu. Heard it all before. I am over this subject." But I'm going to take this old subject today, not to set dates, not to sell doom and gloom, not to frighten or offend you with hellfire, but to use a direct word from the Bible, a word in its time, to apply the attitude of that word to Glebe Road Uniting Church right here today. You may just hear something that you have never heard before. You may just receive an inspiration and a clarity on your life right here today that you've not had or expected when you rose up out of your bed this morning. From our reading this morning, The disciples went up to Jesus at this point. Now you can see the picture. The words are there. You can read them. We heard them from Ruth. They go up to him and say, listen, you've been talking to the mob about end of days. You've been telling them stories and parables. And, you know, you've said plenty, but just with us, just on the side here, while it's quiet, tell us what you really mean. Give us the inside stuff. And Jesus answers them directly. He knows exactly what they're asking for. And he answers them back directly and he says, make sure no one misleads you. That's what we just read. Now the disciples wanted to know this answer because people were asking them. The mob was a big mob. People from the back who couldn't hear properly would come up and ask them, what did he say? And people who just simply couldn't get it, you know, I heard the story, but I just don't get it. What did he mean? They needed an answer here. And Jesus, he's not really seeming to give an answer. He's talking about being misled. And there's more to follow, but I just want to focus on that enigmatic verb, mislead. That's what we're here to talk about. We've arrived already. I know, right? Only 2 minutes in and we hit the punchline. Spoiler. Stay with me. There's a reason for that. Clever teachers of the Bible have said many times to me that there are only three rules to understanding Scripture as you read it. And they are context, context, and context. And that's true. You need to know what's around the words you're reading. But that's all built on a framework, on a fundament, that the word you're reading is correct, that it's been translated, interpreted in a word that means something to you that the speaker meant when he said it. That's the beauty of writing. Right? I can speak now and after that long, nobody else can hear it. But having written a word down, it lives for thousands of years. The word in this case, which is given as mislead, and I'm not here to tell you it's wrong, I'm here to give you an explanation of that word. That word comes from a Greek word called planeo. It's where we get our word planets. You imagine the old Greeks, you know, didn't have TV to watch, there was no ESPN. In the evening they'd go and lay out in the fields and have a quiet ouzo. And as they looked at the stars, they noticed, and everything looks like a star, right? All the shiny things are stars. And they noticed that some of them were fixed in place. And some of them were planeo. They were wanderers. And that's what that word means, to wander. From what, you ask? What are we talking about wandering off? From the truth. Jesus is telling his disciples, do not wander off. From the truth of received understanding, which is the undergirding bedrock of their understandings and of his teachings and of all the Old Testament writings and prophecies that went before that informed their whole lives. He was speaking with that as a background to what he was saying. Now, if we look even in the next verse, it says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many, will cause many to wander. Who's the I in that sentence? When I was young in the scripture, and yet to have it opened up to me, I was taught that the false prophets would come, the many would come, saying, I am the Christ, follow me. That's not what it says. Jesus says, many will come saying, I'm the Christ, pointing to him, and yet will cause many to wander. It's tricky. Look lower down in verse 11. False prophets will mislead many. The word mislead is not wrong, as I said to you before. But to me, the deeper implication is that the hearers will be caused to wander off the true path in their being misled. And wandering has that tone about it which speaks of aimlessness. Verse 24 in the same chapter says that even if it was possible, the elect would be caused to wander. That's how subtle wandering is, different from misleading. To carry the point, I'll give you some more references you can check up on later. Mark 13:5 says exactly the same thing in his retelling of the same story. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 talks about deceiving you, misleading you. Same word, planeo. Lost my spot. Revelation 19:20, speaking of the beast, says that he deceived. He's pointed out as being the deceiver, the misleader. And in chapter 20, the next chapter, where it speaks about Satan being put in the abyss for 1,000 years, it specifically says first about him, he will no longer mislead. Planeo. Now my point is that wandering off, is the predominant sign of the end times warnings. And for my purpose today, it doesn't matter at all if you think that day is soon or far off. Doesn't matter. I mean, fairly obviously, we're closer to the end than to the beginning, right? Same as in your own life. On any given day, you are closer to the end of it than the beginning. Amen? Come on. We're never going to the beginning, are we? But more than winter is coming, I tell you. The end is coming. So let's just pick a day in your life. Let's say it's today. And the notices in your newsletter say that there's going to be a congregational meeting to discuss a subject that you have very fixed views on, that you have very fixed views on that are different from those other ones, that you are very offended by and don't want to talk about it. Maybe you just can't stand having this particular subject dragged up again when it doesn't affect you. When it does affect you, a great deal, but you don't want to have to contend about it in public. I could go on and on. And on, yes I could. These and many other expressions of deep feelings are now being held and spoken all through our church. Brothers and sisters, do not allow this or any other subject or change or news article to cause you to wander. You've seen it, and I've seen it. When people simply become so disaffected, so worn out. These days they say bored with stuff that's happening. And they think, I'll just go somewhere else. I'll just find a group that more agrees with me. Jesus has an answer to the current arguments. And we've read it previously in here from Scripture during this year. Matthew 5:39 says, "Do not resist him who is evil." Now, since we are enjoined to resist the devil in other parts of the Bible, clearly this is speaking about a person, a human being. Do not resist him who is evil. Let's face it, on current issues, both sides of the argument can say that about the other. Evil. So Jesus is saying, and would say, I feel sure, just don't fight. Don't resist that one. Just don't fight. Just sit there beside that one. Don't fight. And I say to you today, from my inspiration, do not, any one of us, forget why we came here today. Why did you come here today? Wandering does not mean that people necessarily go into error Right? Don't go home thinking I said that. That's what makes the end times false prophets so successful. It doesn't mean that people turn from being believers to being unbelievers. It doesn't mean that they go from being good and faithful followers to being rebellious ones. No, it just means wandering, unguided, disengaged, purposeless, aimless wandering. At any level, be it church hopping, changing doctrine, seeking diversion, at any level, do not forget the fundamental relation that you have received in your life from God Almighty and wander off. Between you and Yahweh, stay true to what forms the basis of your life. The band can come up now. I'll finish off. If you've ever thought on the church and the way it seems to be reducing around us, if you've ever worried about whether the church is going to last, remember what I've said about wandering aimlessly. And I'll just finish with a very short quote from a man called Elie Wiesel. When you think on the church or anything else, anyone else, the opposite of love is not hate. It is indifference. Lord, we come here today led by you. You have brought us to this point in our life, Lord. You have informed us to this point. You've held us. You've made us. And we're grateful. We intend, Lord, always to look to you, to hear from you about how we should go, what we should say. In Jesus' name, amen.